Joseph Newgarden, a big race win for him in St. Pete. And Joseph, I'm a little flummoxed here because all I could think of during this race was MC Hammer and his album, Don't Hurt Him, Hammer. Joseph, don't hurt him, man. That was dominance, my friend.
I mean, you can't ask for much more. You know, it was a great weekend. I mean, honestly, just a tremendous weekend to start out. You know, right from the get-go, I felt like we had something to contend with, and we just built a little bit better each day. You know, the pole was, I don't want to say it was unexpected, but I wasn't like banking on us getting a pole here. So we started in a good spot. And then the race itself was just one of the cleanest days I've had, you know, one of the more simpler days I've had of building speed into the car. I mean, it was nice to not have to overextend yourself to find speed in the race car. And I think that makes a big difference. I mean, it's a good start. You know, it's round one. Just like I said yesterday, you get the pole, you can't get too excited until you get through the race. And I think, you know, first race of the schedule, of course we want to start well, and this is going to go a long way, but we got a long way to go. I mean, there's 17 total, so we got to keep at it.
So Joseph Newgarden, winner at the IndyCar opener at St. Pete. What's it feel like when you think you're dominating the race and the boss comes in your ear and says, don't throw it into the wall?
Well, you know, I said that after the race, you know, RP, you know, we were talking about a couple stories, and, you know, certainly that was one of them, you know, a story where they'd been in the lead in the past and had a huge lead and just almost threw it away. And you know, that's not what he wants to see you do. So I was kind of giggling in my helmet the whole time because we were building a nice lead up. And I thought, you know, it'd be really silly of me to throw this away just as Roger told me not to do. It can happen, you know, but you just try and work to not let that happen too often. Fortunately, it didn't happen today. We hung on. We were there in the end, and, you know, we were able to finish things off today.
So tell somebody who will never have the opportunity to lead an IndyCar race or race at St. Pete or Long Beach. It seems like the two of them have some similarities. I can't imagine that they do, but does one prepare you for the other?
Yeah, I think so in a lot of respects. They are different. You know, we approach the setup slightly differently. You know, there's more top speed on the straightaway at Long Beach. It's a little bit longer. You know, the hairpin's unique at Long Beach compared to here. But in a lot of respects, you know, your street course performance here, I think, does indicate how you can run at Long Beach. And, you know, there are learnings that we'll take from here and say, okay, we can apply this, you know, trait of the car. Or, you know, if you didn't have enough rotation, then, you know, you can try and figure out how to fix that, because you're probably going to have a similar problem at Long Beach. But it's just exhilarating. You know, street courses are, there's some of the coolest environments to watch an IndyCar live. I mean, it's a very visceral experience. I mean, you're right up there. It's in your face, and you can feel, you know, the energy of what an IndyCar can do. And it's the same driving it. You know, it's really fun when you're confident in the car and you're just kind of clicking off laps. I mean, I was like pinching myself a couple points there. Yeah, I still love it. I mean, this is my 13th year doing it. I mean, what a privilege it's been for me to have this job. And then I still love competing. I still love turning laps and especially doing it in the race. And I was like having to calm down a couple points. I'm like, look, the race is still going on. You can't lose focus. But I was really just enjoying it.
Joseph, you talk about the spectacle of street courses, and that's exactly what they are. It's been talked about that Roger may want to add some more street courses because of how it brings people to the race a little bit easier than some ovals do. Of course, the fans want to complain about that. They want more ovals overall. Which street circuits would you really want to go to for IndyCar? What cities are big on the top of your list, let's say, if the schedule does expand?
It's a good question. You know, it's tough. I mean, I agree with the sentiment that it's easy to bring people into an environment like this, you know, especially when you can make it work. You know, St. Petersburg has done a great job. I mean, it's not always easy to make a street course race flourish, and they really have done that here for, you know, 20 plus years. I mean, it feels like a huge event, and they are very supportive of starting our season. If you can find that at a different place, then yeah, it's a great atmosphere to bring people in. I think Dallas would be a great spot at some point. Ooh. You know, we love that market. We obviously want to get back there. So if there's a way to figure something out there, it would be tremendous. You know, there's kind of fantasy places that you'd love to go to. I mean, I would love to figure out like New York City somehow, but I don't think that's feasible or possible. That's sort of a fantasy answer, but yeah, I one thing I would also say is I enjoy the mix in IndyCar, and I think it's very critical you know, that we keep that true to the DNA. You know, I love oval racing. I mean, it's some of my favorite form of IndyCar racing, but I love the mix between road, oval, and street. I mean, you've got to be so diverse across the team, your driving style, and you just can't have any weaknesses. And I love that aspect of it. So I think we've got a good ratio. I love seeing a couple ovals coming into the mix on the back end of this year, but I want to keep the ratio, you know, correct.
Joseph Newgarden, IndyCar Series winner from St. Pete, joining us here in the Freak Nation. I know you've got limited time, but real quick here, turns one, turns two in St. Pete, as fans, we cringe, but you guys seem to get through it this year successfully. Why this year versus previous years?
I don't know. I mean, you're right. It's always a trouble spot. Look, the pavement of the runway can always be a little different. Mostly the paintwork, you know, the stripes, they always have a little different grip level each year. It was slippery. It was very slippery this year. I would say more so than last year. So I'm surprised we didn't have anyone mess up. But I was also pretty pleased to see we got through with no incidents. It's just inviting, you know, everybody's kind of, they're a little bit pent up. They're ready to get racing again. They want to prove themselves. And, you know, it's a huge runway with, you know, a lot of width. I mean, you can fit probably 8 cars wide there if you really wanted to. So it's just very inviting for people to make, you know, big lunges and possibly make a mistake. I don't know how we got through it today, but it was good to see it mostly clean.
There's a lot made of your engineer, Luke Mason, and the success of the team last year, latter part of last year. And then, of course, this year, talked a little bit about him. Last thing for you, explain to the Freak Nation what an engineer does for a driver like yourself.
That's a great question. You know, look, there's a lot of talented engineers, very technically savvy individuals that work within motorsports and, you know, work in a lot of other industries. Being a good race engineer is not just being technically savvy. I mean, it requires a different finesse. It requires a different skill set. You know, in a lot of ways, you're interacting with some of the other, you know, leading figures of the team. You know, the driver is definitely a big indicator of strength, and you know, they're kind of banding the whole group together, and the race engineer is doing that too. And I think Luke really exceeds excels, I should say, at bringing everybody together and trying to focus in on the priority items. You know, it's one thing to get lost into the technical, you know, notebooks, and this is what the book is telling us to do. But you got to have that feel aspect. You got to have that intuitive instinct on, you know, what do we need to be doing? If you're not comfy, well, then nothing's going to work right if you're just not comfy. And you know, it sounds basic, but it's just like there's a finesse to it that, you know, not everybody excels at. And I think Luke is just a tremendous race engineer. So I've always thought the world of him. I'm glad he's on my team. I want to find a lot of success together, and hopefully we can keep doing that.
Joseph, thanks for doing this, man. I don't know the last time you heard MC Hammer and your name mentioned in the same interview, buddy.
No problem. I appreciate it, guys.
Right, only in the Freak Nation. Joseph Newgarden, your winner from St. Pete, joining us here in the Freaks. And Statman, you saw the same broadcast I did. They were making a big deal about his body build this year. Dude's always been in shape, but this year, holy smokes, like I said, he looks like he ought to be in Rocky VI taking on Stallone at 85.
Either that or taking over Matt Hagen's funny car in the NHRA. Matt Hagen is huge, but it would appear Joseph Newgarden is trying to get to the same place.